your Bible with you, turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. You can't live through the 4th of July week without thinking about freedom. And we should not think about freedom without thinking about the cost of freedom. Have you thought and been reminded this week of the cost of freedom? People gave so that we could be free in America today. And they're still giving. They're still giving. Freedom isn't free. Physical freedom isn't free. Spiritual freedom isn't free. Think about the cost of freedom physically. You can think about the cost of freedom spiritually. When you think about the cost of spiritual freedom, we will come back without fail to the cross. You can't think about, you just can't think about spiritual freedom or the cost of spiritual freedom without reviewing the cross. This morning I want us to look at not a 4th of July theme, though I had thought perhaps I would earlier in the week. I want us to look this morning at this thought: bearing the cross. Bearing the cross. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9, as Luke records it, in verse 23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Now, for you and I, we can read that passage of Scripture, and we have a concept, we have a mentality that goes with post-cross time. I believe it's probably very difficult, if not impossible, for us to imagine what that statement meant to the disciples as he spoke it to them, as he gave it to them. Try to put yourself in their era. And Jesus saying, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." Maybe they lost him, or he lost them right there. They didn't hear him say, "And follow me," because when he said, "Take up thy cross," immediately their mind was full of something that you and I can't grasp, because we live in post-cross, as it were, era. To them, the cross was a hateful, accursed thing. It was a horrible symbol to them. Everything that surrounded the cross to them was that of shame and reproach and hate, pain. Criminal. It was criminal. We can go back into Matthew's Gospel, and this particular story or this particular passage is recorded there as well. But we can go into Matthew's Gospel, into chapter 10, what we would consider to be the commissioning chapter for the disciples, when Jesus was commissioning his disciples to go into the world. And he was telling them that they were going to go and to preach and to teach, and they were to stay within the house of Israel. And through that entire chapter, you'll find him commissioning them and telling them that there were going to be times of suffering. There was going to be some struggles in their lives, but they were to go and to be an example or to be a witness and to preach the gospel. He was talking to his disciples in that chapter and commissioning them. You'll find in verse 38 of that chapter that he said, "And he that taketh not his cross." Here we find it again. "Taketh not his cross and followeth after me, he is not worthy of me." These are strong words for the disciples. These are very strong words for their minds to grasp a hold of because of what the cross symbolized and meant in their day. For you and I, the cross would symbolize everything that is holy or everything that is precious. We sing about the cross. We rejoice in the cross. Actually, Paul the Apostle said he rejoices in the cross. We don't worship the cross. We don't set up a cross as an image for us to bow in front of, thinking that that is what saves us. But it is a symbol of salvation to us because of Christ. "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily." If he doesn't take up his cross, he's not worthy of me. Now, those are strong words. Are we feeling that? Are we understanding that these are strong words for his disciples? These are strong words for his disciples in 2014. Not sure that we understand or that people, scholars, understand who actually invented the cross. Some would believe that the Romans introduced it from India as a form of punishment for criminals and for slaves. And the executioner was to use the cross as a means to disgrace as well as to kill. That's the symbol of the cross. Very likely the symbol that stood out in the minds of these disciples at the time when Jesus was telling them that they were to take up the cross. And if they did not take up the cross, they weren't worthy of him. So we could understand here that what Jesus was saying, that there was a cross that must be carried, or they must bear a cross, and involved with that cross, there was a disgrace. Now that may stab some of us a little bit deep into the heart because we don't want to be disgraced. No, there's not any one of us here this morning that's standing in line saying, "I want to be disgraced." But that's the symbol of the cross that Jesus was giving, that Jesus was sharing. To them, the bearing of the cross meant that this was an instrument of suffering and an instrument of death. Our Lord's words to them and us declared that none could follow Him unless three things took place. First of all, that they denied themselves. We could bring in the words of the Apostle Paul here as well. "It is no longer I, but Christ, denying myself. Everything that I do is to the glory of God. Whether I do or whether I don't do, it should be to the glory of God. What I say and what I don't say, and where I go and where I don't go, everything about us should be to the glory of God. If I witness to that person, it's to the glory of God. If I fail to witness..." I better not go there this morning. You understand what I'm saying? Everything that we do is to the glory of God. Deny self. That's what Jesus is saying, that this is a part of following Him, of bearing the cross, that it is no longer I, but Christ that liveth within me. He said these three things: deny self. The second one was take up the cross. And the third was that this taking up the cross was daily. And if you look at it carefully enough, you could probably understand very simply, very plainly, that the word daily isn't just simply referring to the cross, but also to the denial of self. That word daily there is referencing all of those things, or two of those two things prior to, that the daily denial of self and the daily taking up the cross is a vital, must situation in discipleship. Again, going back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, he declares that we are not worthy of him if we do not. Luke chapter 14, Luke gives us another recorded instance here of what is being talked about. He said in chapter 14 and verse 27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." If that's not hard to understand, then read the verse before that one, and you'll find it hard to understand. Because the previous verse is talking about the denial of self in such, could I say, succinct tones, clear words, that you and I, for the most part, do not grasp. Because he said here things that go against our wisdom and go against our rationale and go against our desires. If you have your Bible open to that passage, Luke chapter 14, verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot," there it is again, "he cannot be my disciple." Now, as we read Scripture, we can understand that he's not talking about a literal sense here of division, of hatred, but he's talking about the denial of self, that there's nothing that stands in the way in my relationship or in my discipleship and following after Christ. There's a lot of children that are going to find themselves in hell because mom and dad couldn't let them obey God. There's a lot of people that are going to find themselves in the place of torment because they allowed the personal relationships to become more to them than the spiritual relationship. Yes, we are to love one another. It's so real and so vital that we love one another that Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that ye love one another." And that love is to go beyond the love of the world. That love is to stand firm through everything in life. Paul gives us how strong that love is in his writings. "The greatest of these is love," he said, in closing out that well-known chapter. So it's not that Jesus is wanting anti-love sentiment to be propagated among his disciples. It's that we love God first, that we deny self first, that we follow him first. Cannot be my disciple. Now, you and I understand the cross as a form of punishment for sin. It was used in our mind, in our context, and what we think about the cross as a punishment for sin, that sin was put away on the cross. His cross does that. Not my cross. Not your cross. Not the cross that you are called upon to carry. Not the cross that He is telling you to pick up and bear daily. That's not the cross that is putting away sin. His cross put away sin. The suffering that you go through, the problems that you have to deal with, the things that God allows in your pathway to be a blessing in your life, even though it may appear to be a cursing, He puts them there to be a blessing, to help us towards heaven, to draw us closer to God, to be an influence on somebody else towards God, to help somebody else towards God. Those are the reasons why we go through what we go through. The refining fire of affliction. But all of those fires and all of that suffering and whatever else it is that you may think about is involved with your cross that you carry, that is not what saves you. That is not what puts away sin. We come to Him to get deliverance from one burden only to receive another. Somebody said there's two crosses to bear. There's an inward cross and an outward cross. I'm not going to go into the two different crosses. But there is an outward cross. There is something that we must carry. That's what Jesus is talking about, and He's wanting us to carry as a disciple of His. We sing the song occasionally, "We're Marching to Zion." It's song number 308. We love that song. It's kind of a marching song. You can get blessed about singing that song. In the third verse, I believe it is, of the song, it says that we're marching through Emmanuel's ground. I believe it repeats it two, maybe three times there. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. Sounds good, it sings good. But are we really? I'm not trying to take away from the author's words. I'm trying to get us to focus on where we are. Are we in Emmanuel's grounds or are we in enemy territory? You see, we are living in a phase of this, of eternity, as it were, where we are be disciples, to follow Christ, to follow God. But then when you leave that thought and you look at the surroundings, we realize that our surroundings are not helping us towards heaven. This world in which we live is not leading us to heaven. If we find you and if you find me at the feet of Jesus in heaven, as they sang about this morning, it's not going to be because of the circumstances of our surroundings. Because the circumstances of our surroundings is going to pull us away from finding ourselves at His feet. The circumstances of our surroundings is going to lead us away from Calvary. We're marching through enemy territory. And so as we realize that we're marching through enemy territory, we must realize and focus also that it's not about me. It's not about where I am. It's not about what I have around me. But I have to keep my eyes always on the cross, on Calvary. We also sing a song that says it's the way, or the way of the cross leads home. The cross? Did you pick up on the statement that I made a moment ago, that we come to the cross where we lay down one burden and we pick up another? How heavy is your burden this morning? Jesus said, unless we deny ourselves and take up the cross daily and follow Him, we are not worthy to be His disciple. We are not worthy to be a follower of His. The cost of discipleship. Yes, we must count the costs. As we count the cost, Jesus is telling us to take up the cross. If we are followers of Him, then we cannot get away from the outward cross. Now, when we think about the cross, it may bring sadness, it may bring gloom, it may bring a grievous spirit. Should we endure this cross with a heavy heart? Knowing what you know about Scripture, knowing what you know about what God has given us in His Word, do you think that we should carry this cross with a sullen heart, with a gloomy spirit or a gloomy disposition? Do you think that we should go through life with a frown on our face? I marvel at Christians who are able to suffer with a smile on their face. It gives a mystery to people around them because they can't grasp how can they deal with this suffering that they are going through and still have a smile on their face. Sometimes it's taken wrong. Sometimes a smile is taken as though they don't care, or they're nonchalant, or they're a little bit on the arrogant side perhaps. But when we think about this cross that Jesus carries, and if we have a smile on our face or a frown on our face, are we allowing that cross to be grievous to us, to show a frown? When the world looks at me, do they... Well, that's a preaching song there. Do they see Jesus? What do they see when they look at me? Is there any joy in the attitude of a sullen spirit bearing the cross? As a matter of fact, we find that Jesus, our Lord, wants us to consent to the carrying, willingly carry, take it up as a willing act of submission. Realizing that to bear the cross is a way of blessing. Some of you may know the name Samuel Rutherford. He's an author, Christian author. For some, he would be considered a favorite author yesteryear. Somebody said about Samuel Rutherford, they said he had to suffer grievously for conscience' sake. Now, I could read some things into that, and maybe you could too, that says to me that he was suffering more than what he may have had to suffer. But because of his conscience, because of the struggles that he personally had, he drew in a tighter or a heavier cross. Because he had one goal, one supreme desire, and that was to be found at the feet of Jesus. And he didn't want anything at all to hinder him from going that way. And so he willingly carried maybe an extra heavy cross. if that be the case, listen to his words. He found the cross that he carried to be light. And because of the use of words, the choice of words that he used back in his day, I want to paraphrase what he said. He said, however it be, though all of the negatives, though all of the negatives and the sorrows and the sacrifice of Christ's cross are heavier than the cross itself. He said all of the thoughts, all of the negatives, all of the sorrows that are talked about in the way of Christ's cross, all of that is actually heavier than the reality of the cross. Did you understand what he was saying? That you can hear a whole lot of negatives, you can hear a whole lot of sorrows, you can hear a whole lot of noise is what he was saying. But the reality is that the cross isn't nearly as heavy as what it sounded like it was going to be. That was Samuel Rutherford's thought about this cross that he carried, that he was bearing. He actually said, seven crosses, seven joys. What an attitude. Can we say anything about that for ourselves? One cross, one joy. He said seven crosses, seven joys. He said, if it were come to exchanging crosses, I would not exchange my cross with any. Now, remember it said that he carried a heavy cross, but he wouldn't exchange it with any. He said, some have written to me that I am possibly too joyful of the cross. But my joy overleapeth the cross. It is bounded and terminates upon Christ. I can report nothing but good, both of him and it, lest others should faint. In other words, he didn't have anything negative to say about the cross. He also said, the cross of Christ is the sweetest burden ever I bear. It is such a burden as wings are to a bird or sails to a ship to carry me toward my harbor. Did you ever see a wingless bird? Wasn't going anywhere, was it? The burden of those wings help it to fly, to carry it to its destination. The burden of the sails of a ship help it carry it towards its destination. He was simply saying that this cross, this burden that he carries, is the same as the wings of a bird and the sails of a ship, because he knew that through the bearing of the cross, he was going to reach his harbor, his end. And it terminates, he said, in Christ. It ends in Christ. He said, Christ and his cross are sweet company and a blessed couple. He and his cross are two good guests and worth the lodging. What about your cross this morning? What about your cross this morning? We cannot carry the cross. If I cannot bear my cross, if it's too hard for me to carry, then he's saying that you're not worthy to be his disciple. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Bearing the cross. Let me give you the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote the book The Cost of Discipleship. Now, the cost of discipleship may fall on deaf ears if we don't know, if we haven't heard anything at all about the cost that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was willing to pay for the suffering for Christ. But he said this, Jesus summons men to follow him not as a teacher or as a pattern of the good life. Are you following Christ as a good teacher, as a good person, the pattern of a good life? He said, Jesus summons men to follow him not as a teacher or as a pattern of the good life, but as the Christ, the Son of God. When we are called to follow Christ, we are summoned to an exclusive attachment to his person. An exclusive attachment to his person. So this week, as we have thought about freedom and the cost of freedom, perhaps you've thought about the cost of spiritual freedom, brings us back to the cross. As we look at the cross and its symbol of spiritual freedom, are we also getting a fresh glimpse of the command, of the command that Jesus has given to us this morning as disciples of His, to follow Him, that we must deny ourselves, not me. Everything about me brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. To take up my cross daily. To follow Him. An exclusive attachment to Christ. Is that the sum of your cross this morning? An exclusive attachment. A burden like the wings of a bird. That leads me home. The chorus that we sing again on occasion says, I'll take up my cross and follow Jesus. I'll take up my cross every day. I won't be ashamed to say that I love Him. I'll count the cost, take up my cross. And follow Him. The second verse to the song that we sang this morning, or one of the songs that we sang, says, consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thine. Let's stand together this morning.